the art of making clear and decisive decisions at important turning points in your life is a very helpful life skill. And it's a puzzle and a mystery why some are good at it and others aren't. I guess the ability to be a clear thinking person is a help, and also not to give way in the face of unexpected events to rash and impulsive decisions, but instead to have a kind of common sense prudence and patience about what's required. Still, trying to lay down a map over the future is a rather difficult business, which makes, really, the decision made by Mary in this morning's Gospel reading all the more intriguing to understand the background to how she was able to say this yes to God. This, after all, is a 13-year-old we're talking about. Why do I say that? Because that was the age at which most Jewish girls were betrothed to be married, and the marriage was usually consummated about a year later. We find that shocking and scandalous by our today's standards. But remember, in the ancient world, there is no adolescence. There are no teenagers. You're a child, and then you're an adult, with all the life stages kind of telescoped and speeded up, which is why many adult lives were over by the time people were in their 30s or 40s, which I guess is why Joseph goes off the scene quite quickly in the Gospel story. So, what is it that enables Mary to make this kind of decision? Well, I guess a background in the Jewish scriptures would have been helpful. But remember, her exposure to the Hebrew scriptures would have been less than boys, because they were the ones who were sent off to the local synagogue for what we would now call Bible study. The other thing, I guess, would have been some pretty impressive parental mentoring and background in her family life. Anglicans blanch at the Roman Catholic doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, seeing in it a denigration of human sexuality, and find it rather strange to hear that Mary was born without original sin. But what that doctrine is trying to drive at, I think, in its saner moments, is that Mary is prepared to make this decision through a kind of combination of impressive parental mentoring and the infusion of divine grace, which has been working providentially down the generations in her family to shape her and form her for this decisive scene which we just heard about. Now, this yes to God is really made up of a kind of intuitive trust in God that has three dimensions to it, and it's really helpful for us to understand what religious faith is all about. First of all, there's a kind of sense of trust in the fabric of human reality, that God is behind the human story, that it's a story of human flourishing, and that this kind of the way in which the world is built can be trusted. I was helped to understand this dimension of religious faith by a religious writer who said that when we kind of hurl ourselves down a slope skiing, we're trusting that A, the laws of gravity won't change by the time we reach the bottom of the slope, that B, the people who taught us to ski knew what they were doing and have given us reliable instructions, and that thirdly, our instincts and reflexes can be trusted and have been trained to the point where we will know how to look after ourselves. This then is part of the story of what a religious faith is, the sense that, remember I was talking last Sunday about the Thessalonian Christians, the timid and the faint-hearted, who needed to be encouraged to take a rather bolder and more courageous approach to life. That's the first dimension of what a religious faith is. Then secondly, Mary would have had to trust her judgment about people to make a good discernment call about who and what she was dealing with, that this wasn't a demon sent from the dark side, but is indeed a messenger from God. And that means, I guess, that she didn't run screaming in terror from the encounter, or huddle in a corner, or just kind of tune out to the whole thing, and was prepared to make a judgment call about the being she was dealing with, even though it was different to a human being. The third dimension is a sense of a trust in God about the future. The sense that the future, although unclear, and let's face it, what's been opened up for Mary is something that will, in a sense, break her heart 30 years later to see her son judicially executed. Nevertheless, a belief that God is in charge of the future and will make of this a decisive breakthrough and intervention in human affairs. And all of this has three important kind of learnings for us in our religious faith. First of all, there's a sense of trust about the human story. It's not, in the words of Shakespeare, a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It's a story that's going somewhere. It's got a meaning. It's got a sense of trustworthiness behind it. And then there's a sense also that the human story isn't, you know, in the words of the Desiderata, with all its sham and drudgery and broken dreams, this is still a beautiful world. This is a sense in which the world can be trusted as an arena for God's grace to play itself out. And then there's also the need for us to be alert, full of discernment and awareness as to where God's messengers are reaching out to us, because God does not leave any of us alone in the business of living, and often presents to us messengers and angels of grace in the most unexpected places and through the most unexpected people, and we need to look for them. Some people, of course, go looking for spiritual directors, and if you find a good one, then that's a great blessing. But God doesn't leave any of us without resources. And finally, there's a sense in which we too must trust God's plans for us, that he's got a plan for us, and that future can be relied upon. Remember Cardinal Newman's famous hymn, "Lead, kindly light. I do not ask to see the distant scene, one step enough for me." A kind of trusting that to know enough for tomorrow is enough, and that the future, Jesus may have said, "I'm the way, the life, and the truth," but the way ahead can be bumpy. Even in the bumpiness of it all, it can be trusted. And finally, these words of John Henry Newman: "God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me which he has not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. Somehow I am necessary for his purposes, as necessary in my place as an archangel in his. If indeed I fail, he can raise another, as he could make the stones children of Abraham. Yet I have a part in his great work. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do but keep his commandments and serve him in my calling. Therefore I will trust him. He knows what he is about." Spoken in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.